Okay, it's 1:01 p.m. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for February 8th, 2022. Agenda item number one is a roll call. Manager, can you please lead us through that?
This is Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll do the roll call. Frank Gammons, Gatton.
Here.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Mace Royston, LCRA.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
And it appears members from the public, we have Wayne Wiedemeyer.
All right, thank you, Sarah, very much. Agenda item number two, citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
Not for me, but thank you.
Okay, moving on. Agenda item number three is review and approve the minutes from the board meeting of January 11th, 2022 in your packet. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of January 11, 2022. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's put it to a vote.
Yes, this is Sarah Eichelberger. Just real quick, I see that Ruben Reyes joined the meeting at 1:04 p.m. And I'll go ahead and call the roll for the vote for the minutes. Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Hey, Brandon.
Aye.
Is the work that...
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item number four, mid-year network management SLA feedback session. Jaime, can I count on you for the note-taking?
I thought we only took notes during the final one. Are we wanting to take notes this time? I thought it was, I couldn't remember, but it was more.
I don't want to break protocol.
There is a space provided for the semi-annual comments on the document.
Okay. So I have the PDF. Could I get a copy of the Word?
The Word was in the email sent out on Friday, but I can certainly resend it to you real quick.
Oh, I got it in my inbox then. Let me check.
I had to attach both a PDF and a Word version.
Yeah, I see it here. Give me a second to better prepare myself.
Um, Jaime, would you like to present as well?
Sure, so that the board can see what I type and help me okay. with any alterations. I'll go ahead and share my screen.
Yes, sir.
All right, can you guys see that okay?
Looks good. Thank you, Jaime.
Sure.
All right, SLA section number one is network management, engineering, and planning. You can see the list of deliverables and also the accomplishments on the right-hand side. In the last feedback session, looks like it was August, we gave the management team a 5 out of 5. Do we have any comments, thoughts? Hard to improve on a 5. Is there anything that we feel like should be discussed?
I mean, it's acknowledged here, but I think it's worth mentioning, you know, we want to continue to try to make improvements with the, and I don't know if it's completely with Austin Energy, but our ability to upgrade and build our network without it taking more than several years. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a something that we can use as a point of emphasis. Any other thoughts, comments, feedback for network management in this section? Okay, well, I'm not hearing anything. What are we thinking about for a score?
Do we score the mid-years?
Yeah, I didn't think we scored the mid-years. We just gave comments.
Okay, yeah, that works.
That way, we're just doing a check-in to make sure we feel like they're on track, or you know, giving them an opportunity to, you know, provide some feedback so that it's not there's no surprises at the final evaluation.
Good. Thanks for keeping me honest here. All right, section two is engineering documentation. How do we feel, I know for a long time we'd struggled to get everything into Bentley. How do we feel like that is gone? Has that progressed well?
Have any of the members on the call utilized Bentley recently? I know I personally have been, you know, out of simplicity, using more of the KMZ, things like that.
Hey, Jaime, this is Ruben with the city. The times that I've used it, it appears to be accurate. I've never encountered a call where I'm asking for a reference point or a schematic where, you know, Carlos and team are, wait a minute, I need to update this. It's typically, oh, here it is. But that's been my experience.
Right.
As far as the accomplishments, the setup of the O365 GATT and SharePoint site has been, in my opinion, phenomenal. It's very easy to navigate, very easy to access, pull down handouts. I definitely want to give kudos for that. Make sure you keep that in here for the end of year SLA so we can give you credit for that.
Now, it does mention that management did collect as-built information for tie cables. I remember providing information, but I hadn't personally checked to see if those tie cables got input into Bentley. So it's probably worth the members verifying that, to make sure that any of your tie cables or other sites that may not be connected directly to a ring are in Bentley.
Okay, any feedback on this one from the board? Good feedback, negative feedback, areas to improve?
This is Ruben. I give it a high score of, as far as the items you have here. I know that the last score, well, actually, we're not scoring. You're just asking for comments. So to me, they're doing great.
Okay, let's go ahead and move on to section three then. Looks like we don't really have any specific feedback on this section.
I do have a question. Wasn't there some desire for incident reporting? And maybe that's on the SharePoint site, and maybe that falls in another category. But didn't we do something, or network management did something recently where there's a log of incidences? Is that right, Frank?
Yeah, so we report those at during meetings publicly, and we keep a log which we can get out to the members.
Okay, so that's something new for this category, right?
That's correct.
Would that be in section three?
Yes, Jaime, this is Sarah. I was going to say that's actually, I believe, in the next section that speaks to the new report that's done okay. Monthly at the tech meeting, as well as the tracking in SharePoint.
Great. Okay, we can discuss it in a second then. All right, I'm ready to move on, Dane, if you are.
All right, section three, damage management and disaster recovery. It was requested in August to see some progress on disaster recovery plans. Management has mentioned that they will continue to schedule meetings with the subcommittee and finalize that DR plan.
Yeah, just a FYI on this one. I don't think everybody knows this, but I have shared with the subcommittee in our last meeting that I am looking to take governmental disaster recovery, governmental disaster recovery course for the industry of telecommunications. So it's just a FYI on that. I think I'll be able to complete a course in that arena and then better assist the subcommittee and Gatton as a whole once that's completed. And I'm hoping to have that done by the end of this month.
So I'm just noting more progress needed for DR documentation and planning.
Yeah, we're close on that. I know you know. I know you're aware, Jaime, but we're really close on that DR plan. It's just a little bit different, you know, being Gatton is who Gatton is. And how we operate, and you know, with the different entities, the courses I've looked at, and the information I've been researching, it's more private sector oriented.
So I put good work on documenting network interruption incidents. Oh, I hadn't spelled right the first time.
What else do we have on this section? Hey, not hearing anything. Let's go ahead and move on to section four, financial management. Now, they've pretty much been cleaning up on this one for years now. I think it's been five. Not that I want to skip it, but I know I don't have any feedback.
Right. John's not on the call, is he? Or AISD?
No, John's not on the call right now.
Okay.
Last call for comments on this section. I think Jaime pretty much summed it up there, in my opinion.
We might want to touch base with John just to see if there's any changes or improvements with network management and ASD's fiscal team.
Okay, no feedback, which means we're going to move on to Section 5, Contract Administration. You know, the comments that we put in there last time, I'm questioning if they're in the right section.
Yeah, it looks like it's not in the right section. But regardless, and let's see if there's anything for contract administration. And I don't see or can't recall any issues.
This is Sarah, and I want to say the reason I think they're in this section is because it says on-call repair of GATT network infrastructure, the deliverable B. I think that's why the board put that in this section last year.
I wonder if that deliverable should go under Section 3 going forward, which is damage management and disaster recovery, because that's not really a contract item.
I agree.
This is Sarah. I'll just note that these are exactly as they're written in the SLA, and the sections that they're in is the sections that they're in the SLA. So that's why we have this formatted this way.
When's the SLA up for review? Maybe it's something we consider correcting at that time.
I believe it's 2024. And yes, that would definitely be.
That's correct.
Gary, I'm sure Gary will remember.
Thanks, Dane.
Hey, Dane, I can see how that on-call repair of GATT network infrastructure would fall under a contract administration category now that I look at it a little bit closer. Because, I mean, again, it's part of a service level agreement, right? If there's on-call staff, are they responding, you know, as required? So now that I'm looking a little bit closer, it should stay here. If that's what it was called on, to be part of the SLA.
I was going to just put a note, consider moving deliverable B to Section 3, review during next SLA.
That looks good to me. Do we
have I'm good with that, Jaime.
Do we have any feedback on the contracts that we are tracking, such as legal, one call, insurance, and not one call. Okay, sounds like we don't have any specific feedback there. I think they're pretty much tracking on those deliverables. We'll move on to Section 6. And board members, if there's anything that you can think of as we're going through this from a previous section, don't be too shy. Just shout it out. We'll make sure we can go back and put it in there. Section 6 is business administration. Yeah. We had no feedback last time.
The only potential feedback is, I know during the last tech meeting, the folks at LCRA said that the meeting was reserved, but it didn't note a phone there. Did you have a phone when you showed up today, Dane?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not sure if that was on management or where that one came from. But.
No, I don't think that would be on management. Just something I related to this topic that came to mind that they said, "Oh, Gatton didn't request a phone."
This is Sarah. I'll just let you know that, you know, we've requested a phone for every single meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured.
And I believe that the person that usually coordinates the meetings there was out of the office.
Right.
So I apologize about that.
Oh, no worries.
No problem. Okay. Going once, going twice, business administration, any feedback, areas of improvement, any positive feedback? How about a keep up the good work? I mean,
there it is. I'm already there. Well, let me add some emphasis.
It is. Okay, I believe that's the last section. Yes. Okay, that's basically it for the mid-year review. I want to give the board members a chance to speak up and go back to any of the sections that we've already covered. If anything was jogged in your memory or anything else that we want to capture, positive or areas of improvement.
I guess maybe I have a question for network management. Are there any areas of the SLA that you feel are a particular challenge right now? Whether it's, you know, with agreements and Cap Metro or other things that you could use more assistance from the board or other resources to help with?
You know, I would say, and this is Frank, I would say the, you know, we've been really, we're seeing more agreements now than we've ever seen before. As you all know, that we're City of Boston's picking up and the amount of work that's taking place in all the development. So, I mean, we're really busy right now with third parties and, parties such as Cap Metro, Union Pacific Railroad, and other developers in the area. A lot of NDAs going out, so you're going to see an uptick on, and you've seen it. It's been trending in that direction for legal counsel. And then the only other thing is, and it was mentioned earlier, and I can't explain this enough how we fought to get Austin Energy on board with us, that we don't have a pole attachment agreement in place with them. Rather, we have an ILA. That we have a new executive with the City of Austin who replaced the position that Bruce Hermey was in. And Ruben and I met with him last week, and I spoke specifically about this. And I would like to get him engaged with it, because the way it currently is, when we're doing our upgrades and we're just replacing 114 with a 192 count, I don't think we should be held accountable to what's written in a pole attachment agreement that doesn't exist for us. And I think that's the main thing. And if I could get that accomplished by August, my life would be a lot better. Our team's life would be a lot better. And Gatton would, you know, do well from that. And the ability that we would have to be able to do our projects in a timely manner. So we are definitely working on that. I'm just going to need some higher level engagement between Austin Energy and City of Austin CTM, and possibly regulatory affairs, maybe one other department being legal. So, and nothing else really on the SLA. I mean, we're concentrating. You know, we have action items through each board meeting, and we are concentrating on. Doing better, having a better performance evaluation in August than we did this past August. And I think with the backup knock, where we're at with it, and it being completed and now ready for the members to come in and install their equipment, that's going to really help us as a network management team focus back on to our traditional outside plant work.
Any challenges or issues with now that it seems that the remote meeting setup is our norm, how has that been for the network management team? Any good, bad, same workload, more workload?
Same workload. You know, we do, you know, we spend a lot of time prepping for these meetings, make sure everything's presented correctly, reviewing documents, going over handouts. We have separate meetings outside of this meeting to discuss this meeting. And so far with the remote attendance, the way we're performing it now, we don't see any change in the way business is done. It's no more of a workload for us. It's no less. And we're able to get the feedback we need and the actions and the recommendations we need from the tech committee and the approvals from the board, just as we always have.
Okay, great.
One thing, Jaime, on your first question about is there anything that we can do to help if any of the challenges, one of the pieces of feedback that we gave just today was that we'd like to see more effort put into the replacement of our aging infrastructure and have it done more quickly. So that was something that we requested in the, or that was something we discussed in one of the recent meetings, and management said that they might need more resources for that to basically, you know, handle the planning and the permitting and all of that. So, Frank, what do you have in mind there? What specifically can we do to get that going? Is that a contractor?
Yes, that's why we're looking at it right now, because you have to think about it. Once we get done with these, the remainder of the transport rings, and Ruben and I have been talking fairly extensively about this since he became my supervisor, and with the new person being in Bruce's role, the new deputy CIO, we spoke to him about that last week, and specifically when I was talking about Austin Energy, he asked that exact same question. So the role that I'm seeking is definitely a temp position for now, because I don't know if they would fill that capacity after we're done with the transport rings. So it, you know, it may be a role of a few years. We'll see how that goes, how that plays out, if and what Ruben thinks. But Ruben is on board with me on it. I now have the new deputy CIO for the city of Austin, CTM, involved with that as well. And we're going to circle back to him to try and get that done so we can propose what is needed to Gadden. Because like I said before, that is a full-time role that in our estimation, as our team has looked at it, that we need to fill. It's just, I can't explain it to you. It's, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining at all, because I'm not, but it's literally thousands of poll applications that we have to review. When they get denied, that we have to start engaging Austin Energy on each one of them. So for each poll, there's a separate application. We definitely need to get somebody involved with that, and it would help us to have some boots on the ground out in the field. You know, going out when they deny something, often it'll be Carlos or I or our vendor or the engineering firm working for the vendor going out to dispute why this one particular poll and three polls away, why that one was, you know, denied application. And then it's a long process. So I don't want to get too far off into the weeds on that. But yeah, it would be this position would be a temp from my perspective and from what I've spoken about with my management. And then I don't think it could come soon enough, to be honest with you, at this point.
So Frank, what you're describing, I've heard in Austin, for residential and commercial constructions, there's companies that all they do is specialize in the permitting process, working with the city and various regulatory agencies to get work done. I'm wondering if there's something similar that exists for working in outside plant and right-of-way environments.
Yeah, I can definitely look into it. So there are engineering firms that, you know, that our vendors use that works with Austin Energy up in to get the polls approved, right? So the application's approved. But from a network management standpoint, to represent Gadden, that's where we need that person. And this is why I say that, because when it comes to Austin Energy, they don't want to hear from somebody with their own engineering firm if they're saying something's denied. They want to hear from me or Carlos, and that's it, or somebody on the Gadden network management team. They don't want to hear from anybody with JC Communications or Bricom. So we have to be heavy-handed on this application system and what our vendors are doing. And both our vendors are doing, in my opinion, a phenomenal job keeping track of this right now. But they don't have the authority or the ability that we have, being City of Austin employees, to bend Austin Energy's ear and get the answers and results. And as a matter of fact, Austin Energy has requested about 6 or 7 months ago, 6 to 7 months ago, that they are not to be contacted by our contractors or engineering firms anymore. So that definitely was a game changer. But yeah, so you have to think about this person that would be coming in. It's not so much a fiber background would be a bonus, but this would be somebody that is either worked with an engineering firm, has experience with pole applications and loads, safety, and an electrical background. Somebody that, that can come in and say, yeah, no, this is, Austin Energy's dead on here. They can't do it because, of this reason, and it's because of this specification. And that would be the resource that I would be after, is if they got fiber experience, great. If they don't, I'm looking for somebody that has make-ready, electrical make-ready experience. I've worked in the private sector before and departments exclusively for that purpose, and those people were not telecommunications people. They were former Austin Energy retirees or other electrical company employees at one point, and that's what they did. That's what they do for a living. That's what we would be after.
Okay. And then I see that John has joined. John, I was curious, from the financial management perspective, does AISD see any areas for improvement or anything they want to call out that we're doing really well in this area?
No, I suspect that I'm in concurrence with what the board has already commented on.
All right. So it says, keep up the good work. I'll take off, confirm with John. We did it.
Okay, last call for comments on the SLA review. Okay, thank you all for participating. And Sarah, quick question, two questions. One, I'm assuming that we can just roll straight into the regular board meeting. And two, did you hear back from legal regarding the executive session?
I believe that Gunnar has joined the call, and I'd like to announce the people that have joined the call since we took the initial roll call. We have John Colmorgan with Austin ISD that joined at 1:29 p.m. We have Steve Pyle with DIR that joined at 1:28 p.m. We have Chris Gonzalez with Bricom. I didn't catch what time you joined, Chris. And I believe, Gunnar, is that you with the phone number ending in 7382?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, everybody.
Okay, yes. We have Gunnar Sequist with Bickerstaff, Heath Delgado Acosta, Gatton's attorney, joined at 1:32 p.m.
Okay, Gunnar, how's your schedule looking? Can we just check along as normal, or do we need to make some accommodations regarding executive session?
Nope, we're good to go. You guys just go on a normal agenda, and I'm here whenever you're ready for executive.
All right.
Hey, Dane, real quick, did you want me to send you these comments or send them to you and network management team?
Yeah, send it to the management team and myself. That would be great. Thank you so much, Ian, for doing that.
Sure.
And Carlos, you can put the handouts back up on the screen.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, agenda item number 5A is the, looks like there's no consent agenda items, so we'll go straight into board chairperson update. 5A is review of the February 3rd, 2022 winter storm and any impacts to the network. Management, what do you have?
Yeah, so this is Frank. So there was no incidents to report. I'm very pleased to announce, we did a lot of prep into this, and our vendors, speaking with our vendors prior to the event itself, and I feel like a lot of work went into the readiness and preparedness of the event, and very thankful of the resiliency and how well our the Gatton network infrastructure held up just the same as last year's winter storm. I know the only thing I saw was a City of Austin facility that was affected, but it was not related to Gatton. And I didn't hear of anything else that took place, or, down limbs or frozen splice cases or anything of that nature that affected us. Very pleased. Any questions?
Thank you, management team.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give kudos to management and our contractors for continued hard work. See, in situations like this is where keeping to our standards and all of the inspections and plant inspections and everything that goes into it, you can see where it pays off. Two winter storms in a row with zero damage. Fantastic job.
Agreed.
Okay, moving on to 5B, agreement between the City of Austin and Gatton for the maintenance of the backup NOC.
Okay, this is Frank again. And the NOC maintenance subcommittee met originally on January 24th, and then we met today as well, being February 8th. And we're moving right along. We've got a recommendation to bring to the next board meeting. Should be the next board meeting. There's a few items we've got to work out internally with the data center operations group and their management. Also with Ruben, I'll be getting with you in regards to the meeting we held today and what I'm going to be proposing to take place. And so we're moving right along. We've had two meetings. We've had a employee with the DCO group that's been meeting with us and done a phenomenal job on presenting options. And the subcommittee today made a recommendation. We just have to follow back up with them. Any questions in regard to this one?
Okay, go ahead, Frank, 5C. Oh, I'm sorry. This one needs to go to executive session, correct?
I don't believe so. And if we talk about any legalities regarding this agreement, yes, that's the last time I spoke to Sid in regards to this agenda item. Then we wouldn't need to be. But let me give you the briefing on it, and then if certain questions pop up, we'll have to move it to executive session, if that sounds okay with everybody else. Okay. So this is pertaining to a UT entity-specific project, and it requires a Cap Metro crossing. As the nature of our business and how we're structured with these Cap Metro right-of-ways, Union Pacific right-of-ways, City of Austin right-of-ways, it's considered Gatton, right? So same thing here, same thing applies here. So we must enter into a license agreement with Cap Metro for each crossing that we do. We did one with Travis County, I think it was last year for an entity-specific project. And the way it worked and the way we handled it at the last board level is for Travis County to reimburse Gatton for the license fee. Since they were only the only entity using the cable involved in the crossing, which they did. They have reimbursed Gatton in accordance with that board meeting and what they were supposed to do. So therefore, with this one, UT is the initiator of this license agreement with Cap Metro, and they'll have to reimburse Gatton for this crossing since they will be the only entity involved with this new crossing. Now, there is an existing, in all transparency, there is an existing DIR cable that's already over this crossing. And what's the way this has worked out is this, is when DIR installed that cable, it was prior to a license agreement being required or fees associated for being there. So everything was grandfathered by Cap Metro. And Cap Metro has not pursued and is not going to pursue, from what I've been told from them, any of our crossings. And I have that in writing from a previous email from the Vice President of Operations, of Cap Metro. So with this being the case, UT will have to reimburse Gatton. Now, being that Travis County had done one last year, we have everything in writing. We don't expect any, red lines to go back and forth between Sid and Cap Metro or Cap Metro's legal. What we anticipate is being able to change the dates on this, the locations on this, and getting it approved by Cap Metro pretty quickly. But we need to let the board be aware of this license agreement. And I believe it would be in Gatton's best interest to approve the fact that we're going to enable a license agreement due to the specific need that UT has.
So So just to clarify, you're going to bring the final agreement to the board, and then we'll vote on approval, correct?
Yeah, I can do that. If the board wants to review the license, it's the same as the Travis County license agreement that was approved, or the Gatton license agreement that was approved for Travis County. The only thing that's going to change on it is the dates and the location of the crossing. Therefore, I didn't feel it was needed to bring to this meeting, but that's a good point. And if Gatton wants to approve the same agreement again, but approve it for UT, we certainly can do that.
I think if there's no substantial changes to the agreement otherwise, other than the location and the purpose of the cable, I don't see why we would need to review the specific, agreement. I mean, because basically it's the same.
My thought is that if there are no substantial changes, then it's going to be fine. But if there are changes that Cap Metro is requesting, then at that point we may need to take a look at it.
Yes. So I got you. I understand, Dane. Yep. So yeah, if Cap Metro comes back, redlines anything or edits anything and wants, Gatton to sign off on it, most definitely. That's a very, very good point. And so most definitely we would do that for today. I'd just like to get approval to enter into have Gatton enter into a license agreement on UT's behalf.
Frank, this is John. Are there any fees associated with this?
Yeah, there are. It's can't remember off the top of my head. I think the first annual one, I could pull it up if you'd like. The first annual one is, and Jaime, you may remember this, or you may have access to it actually quicker than I do because I've got a lot of other documents.
And UT is going to cover the one-time and recurring fees for this.
UT is going to cover the cost of it, but yeah, there is cost associated with it.
Okay. My apologies. I thought there was going to be a reimbursement back to Gatton is what I thought I'd heard earlier. Maybe I misunderstood.
Well, that's correct. My understanding is when network management bills the university for our network rights contribution, it'll also include this license fee because it's going to be in Gatton's name.
Okay. So we might want to call that out in any vote and probably should outline those fees in the invoicing that we do going forward.
Well, and we probably need to set up a procedure for this. I know we may have one already, but just put it in, get it in our policy that this is the way these are going to be handled from now on. They'll be charged to the entity in conjunction with their annual fees.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I pulled up the license agreement from the previous Travis County crossing. It is signed by Dane as the board chairperson. So I believe the board would have to approve since Dane would have to execute. And if it's the same fees, it would be $2,500 for the first year, and it increases a slight amount every year thereafter.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and so yeah, Dane would be executing this. We just need the approval. And then to John's point and to John's question and to Jaime's point, so this would be Sarah, do you recall how when this was paid last year, Gatton paid it and then Travis County?
So this would be just like how we enter into TxDOT agreements. Gatton is the contracting entity, so Gatton actually pays Cap Metro, and then Gatton invoices the entity, in this case UT, for that fee to be reimbursed.
So I would say that this is a project that the university has been trying to accomplish since summer of 2019. Lots of hurdles with Austria Energy, changing of routes because wanted to replace poles and all that. So if we could, and I don't know, obviously, it's up to Cap Metro. I'd like to try to get this squared away at the next board meeting if possible.
Yeah, I don't see any issues with that. Just bring us a completed agreement, and I don't see any issues with it getting approved.
Great.
I don't feel comfortable putting it to a vote yet because we don't know what we're voting on. But as soon as you get that finalized, I don't see any issues. And hopefully it goes more smoothly than ours did because, ours was quite a lengthy process.
Yeah, you blaze the trail for us, hopefully.
That's right.
So thank you, Travis County.
Okay, any other questions?
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, any other questions in regards to the Cap Metro license agreement? Hearing none, we'll move on to D, which is the property damage claim against J.B. Abrams / Lone Star Paving for damage to C1N at IH-35 in Rutherford on September 20th, 2021.
Frank, this is Sarah. This one's going to be discussed in executive session.
Is it going to be the same? I read those emails earlier between you and Dane, but is it going to be the same for property damage claim, which is item E on B1N Stone Hollow?
That one I can go ahead and discuss in open session, and that's just an update to the board that we're still in process with Gatton's Property Insurance Company. This damage occurred on October 18th, and the combined cost of the temporary and the permanent repair was approximately $55,000. So Gatton is expecting approximately a $5,000 recovery on this. We submitted everything to the insurance company, and in early December, they've come back with some questions. We've answered those questions. We're just going back and forth right now with them and expect them to make a determination in the next week or two.
Any questions in regards to that one? Okay, I'm assuming that Dane, you want to move into executive session, or you want me to go into the network manager's report?
Go ahead and cover network manager's update, and then we'll hit executive session. Cover five.
Okay. Feet. Yeah, I'll stay to the agenda. Okay. So for item 6A, the Gatton backup NOx status update. I hope you all saw my email yesterday. We finalized the fiber terminations inside the Gatton NOC, and it was a February 3rd, which I believe was Thursday of last week. It is now ready to is considered active, so we're good to go. And I couldn't be happier. This has been a long process from the origination of the ILA in October of 2018, the amendment that came in November of 2020, the change that came up that Austin Convention Center requested that management team work through and legal work through in November of 2021, and then to have this project complete the way it is, and to have the maintenance plan. It's still critical that that's completed and ready to go by July 1st of this year. I'm really ecstatic. I am tickled to death and happy. I felt a great joy of almost a need of celebration that this one's coming to fruition. It's just a phenomenal historical undertaking for Gatton, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you and everybody else involved with it. I've gotten some emails out to other groups involved with it. We're still working on the reimbursement portion of it from Public Works, and we're close to having that completed as well. And Sarah can cover that if need be during her job budget report on the reimbursement amount and where it's projected at in total projection of job cost. So with that being said, I'll open the floor up to any questions in regards to the backup NOC.
Lessons learned, Frank?
I'm sorry?
Lessons learned?
Yeah, I'll circle back to you on that one. We do have some. A lot of those have to do with inner workings of the city of Austin and how their processes work and how the ILA was written and how against how it possibly could have been written from a construction standpoint and build standpoint. There's not many, a couple small ones, but if the board doesn't mind, it's so fresh and it's so completed, just being completed, we've got to hold some meetings and gather those lessons learned, and we'll keep this agenda item for the next one, and I imagine that would be the topic we definitely need to go over.
Yeah, I think that the board should probably discuss lessons learned as well in terms of decision making and and priorities, and would we make the same decisions again if we were forced to? I think it'd be worth spending some time on that, maybe at the next meeting.
Absolutely. Any other questions or comments?
Job well done. Thank you for keeping pressure on it to get it done. It wasn't easy.
Thank you all. I'm proud of what we were able to accomplish together. Okay, well, I'm going to move into the Gatton Project Stash Report, item 6B. And you'll see that within your handouts. So what we've got is the Gatton developer funded projects. We've got no change to those. Gatton active projects, let's see here. We've got nothing to update on in regards to those. So I apologize, my page is jumping for some reason. Hold on with me here. For Gatton completed projects, of course, I kind of touched base on this, but we've got the A2N Activation and the Convention Center, Super Ring North Activation and the Convention Center, Super Ring South Activation and the Convention Center, and then also the C1N temporary repair for that gunshot on St. John's Avenue. All is completed, with the first three being large projects and undertakings. So happy to have those under our belt and done. For make sure I'm not jumping the gun here on missing anything. Gatton future driven projects, nothing to note of change. Developer driven future projects, nothing note to change. Anti-specific projects fall in the same category as far as being active. Nothing new that I don't think we're missing. If you note something that we're missing on there, please let us know. I know, Jaime, we added that pickle one for you since the last meeting or prior to the tech meeting. Entity-specific completed projects. We had the A1/A2N Travis County, the family courthouse complete. And then entity-specific future projects we have listed on there with nothing to change. Nothing to note of change. Any questions?
I got some questions on the A1 North upgrades. A lot of them are still listing pending permit approval. Are the permits still waiting on Gatton to provide additional information and we're just waiting to hear back, or what's the status? Do we need new traffic control plans, or what's going on there?
Yeah, so the way this works is if the vendors submit for permitting, they have to do it after Austin Energy approves. So if you think about that, the way that works, we have to get the Austin Energy approval first. So that's why it's going to, it will say permitting pending permitting. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's been approved by Austin Energy. We can, discuss that as Gatton, if we want to call that out separately or differently. But Austin Energy application process, once they approve, then we go out and submit for the permitting. And the reason why is because a lot of these permits will have an expiration date of 30 days. So it doesn't make any sense to pay our vendors to go out for the permitting, get approved, and then hope Austin Energy approves something for us. Did that answer your question, Jaime?
So it sounds like they're still pending Austin Energy approvals?
Yeah, AE approvals. Okay. Which the application process with them, we consider that permitting as well.
Right. Yeah. So I guess, is Austin Energy waiting on Gatton or Gatton's vendors to process that approval, or do they have everything we need and it's just being processed?
They have everything they need. It's being processed, but the process starts off, if they deny one pole on a route of 20, for example, the whole process starts all over again.
Okay.
So for each poll they deny, and it could be for the littlest thing, here we go again. It starts all over. And we've had just a lot of work we're having to do to work on the nature of that and work on what they're anticipating or requesting us to complete in the field from an electrical makery standpoint. And as I previously discussed, we are at their liberty. I discussed this in the last meeting with Forgotten. We are at their liberty unless we have our own Maker 80 contractor to perform this work. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast right now. And if they say it's going to take us a year to get to it and complete it, then there's nothing that we can do as Gatton, except I think the only other, you know, we've had them in Gatton's meetings. We've had Austin Energy's, you know, executive folks in Gatton meetings and asked them, you know, been able to ask them a lot of questions. I can bring them back in if the board thinks that would be a good idea. You know, possibly, you know, and I've kicked this around and mentioned it, you know, possibly having Gatton's legal get with Austin Energy or the city's legal to determine why the fact remains that we do not have a pole attachment agreement, but we're having to play by the same system that applies to everybody else that has an existing pole attachment agreement. If that makes sense.
I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, two things out of this. One, electrical maker and contractor, and not having to rely on Austin Energy or their approved vendors to go out there and get this work done for us. We're just chomping at the bit, and you know, we can get a lot of stuff done within the city of Austin, but Austin Energy seems to be the, if I was a vampire, they're the silver bullet. I don't know how to say it. They won't let us get anywhere. And you know, I've met with their executive management. I don't think Gatton can do anything else except possibly look at going out for electrical make ready contractor of their own, and or a combination of both, pursuing this legally.
Frank, this is John. Two comments. Could we, just so that we could track that better, segment those out so that we list those as pending Austin Energy? And then secondly, maybe we should have, you know, the executives from each of our organizations get with the city council or the mayor and see if there's some avenue that we can all work together to expedite.
Yeah.
Yep. Processes. I mean, yep. I think that's probably the next step.
Hey, does anybody see a downside of going out for our own make ready contractor?
Maybe cost. A little cost, yeah. I'm sure Austin Energy may be a better deal, or potentially a better deal.
Well, I guess if it's cost, you know, that's something that we can factor in potentially, but it seems like this is one of the biggest hurdles to getting our stated goals realized, which is, you know, the upgrade of our A1N and our super ring. This is not going to stop when A1N is done.
No, it's not. And, you know, I've said this before, and I'm beating a dead horse here, but not with y'all, but with Austin Energy. And the fact of it is I cannot get my mind around the fact that we don't have an agreement in place that they keep referring to in meetings and in emails when I communicate with them, and their correspondence back is, you know, you have to do it this way per your pole attachment agreement. Well, you know, we have the ILA. We don't have that. And then with the upgrades that we're trying to do, you know, if we were going out and replacing A1N or building A1N from scratch, you know, I think Gatton could understand, okay, you know, we've got to change this on their pole because, you know, it's been wrong for the past 20 years. With us just going out and replacing a 114 count with a 192 count that now has, you know, now that time is and things have changed and technology has gotten better, it's pretty much the same load on the pole that we already exist on. It's almost identical outside diameter. It's microns of a difference between the two outside diameters. And I think that's my strongest point, is that we just want to get done with our transport rings and replace fiber that we already have out there without having to replace every pole that you have an issue with, or the infrastructure, your infrastructure on the poles. You know, we're just trying to replace our fiber.
So I would like to understand what the financial impact would be of getting our own electrical make ready if it solves this problem. And I'm not suggesting it's that easy, but I hear that as one of the potential options. So I'd like to know at the next meeting, what would be the financial impact of doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes to the resource also that we spoke of earlier, because we have to, you know, that temp or whoever it could be would help us if they're electrical, you know, if they have a subject, if they're experienced with electrical work, electrical make ready. And you know, I've seen like former employees of Austin Energy retire and fill such positions, and it with them having their know-how of, you know, what is Austin Energy's requesting, why they're requesting, because it's all from an electrical standpoint. And you know, I've been dealing with electrical make ready for 30 years, since 1992, December of 1992, and I've never seen this before. I've never seen this process like this take place. So definitely noted, Dane. Thank you. All right. Any further questions on the project status report? Hearing none, Sarah, do you want to take the next agenda item?
Yeah, the job budget tracking. We're tracking 38 jobs totaling $1.6 million. 14 or 37% have been completed. 24 jobs are still pending. Carlos, if you can go back up to the first page, please. There have been two jobs added in orange since the previous meeting. That was the Supering North B1 North emergency pole replacement at East 51st Street and the C1 North temporary repair for the gunshot on St. John's. And we do expect to file an insurance claim for the gunshot damage at St. John's. I think that's going to total approximately $60,000. I know that one's going to be brought to a future meeting for approval. And Carlos, now if you can go down to the bottom page, please. As Frank was speaking about earlier, the Gatton backup knock, the bottom table, the expenditure tracker, there are a few little final payments to be made before we can initiate the refund from the City of Austin, which is going to be a little more than $339,000. We do expect to get that back before the end of the fiscal year. As you could see, originally there was $2.396 million approved. So far, we've paid out $2.26 million. However, we are expecting that refund from the City of Austin. The final cost for the knock is going to come out to approximately $2.056 million. And that's all I have. Please let me know if you have any questions. Oh, I did forget to mention that we did fully recover the money from TxDOT for that SH-130 Ross Road project from last year. So right now we have recovered almost $208,000. And that's all I have. Sir, if you have any questions.
I don't know if it may be on my end, but you broke up a little bit. What project was that for the TxDOT reimbursement we received?
That was the SH-130 Ross Road project that was completed last year.
Excellent.
Okay, any further questions for management on item B or 6C? Okay, moving on. Item number 7 is executive session. The time is 2:05 p.m. We are going to adjourn for closed session under Texas Government Code section 551.071. See you all on the other call.
Hey, Dane, if you'll give me about 2 minutes, I'm going to walk the car up to my office so that you...
We're back in open session at 2:19 p.m. Agenda item number 8 is an updated roll call.
I'm Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll call the roll. We have Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Colmorgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Mace Royston, LCRA.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
And Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
And we have Chris Gonzalez from BRICOM.
Present.
And Gunnar Sequist with Bickerstaff, Heath Delgado, and Acosta.
I'm here.
I see that Sid's also joined us.
That's actually Gunnar.
Okay, very good.
Gunnar, did you and Sid swap phones?
I think you guys may have our office line programmed as Sid, because this is an office phone.
That's probably what it is.
Okay, agenda item number 9, discussion and possible action regarding the financial report in your packet.
Everybody should have a copy of the most recent AISD budget report ending December 31st, 2021. Please take a look at it, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Carlos, can you bring the budget report up, the number 9 handout, please? Just the first page. Thank you.
Any questions from anybody?
Okay, looks like you're in the clear, John.
Hearing none, thank you.
Item number 10, meeting and action item summary.
Okay, so this is Frank, and I've got a few here to go over. So we're to have CAP Metro license agreement reviewed, and if agreement is confirmed as is, bring it to the next board meeting for approval. For the job tracking report, we're going to segment out the reports to delineate between permits versus Austin Energy poll applications. In regards to discussion with Austin Energy, we're going to look at having City of Austin executives as well as other entity executives to include City Council, Mayor, if need be. I do feel that, as expressed earlier, that with a new deputy CIO involvement, if he has the ability and the gumption to do so, I think he can be very helpful with us in regards to this versus the former deputy CIO. So very hopeful there. Electrical make ready costs for an RFP or vendor to be put in place. That one's going to take a little bit, but we'll start looking into that and costs, some projected costs for that. The next one would be resource for Gatton network management team costs to bring or to be brought to a Gatton board meeting. I imagine it wouldn't be the next one, hopefully the one after that, which would put us in April. I'll be working with Ruben on that and the new deputy CIO. And then contact TxDOT regarding the damage claim. They're aware of the claim itself, but I'm going to make some phone calls to some folks there I know regarding that damage claim. And that's it.
Okay, board members, did we miss anything there? Okay, sounds like we're good. Last agenda item, confirmed date, time, and location for the next board meeting, March 8th, 2022 at 1:30. We'll be back here at the LPRA Service Center and also via Microsoft Teams. Thank you all very much. We managed to clear up all of my technical glitches from last month, so that was a smooth one. Thanks, everybody. This meeting's adjourned at 5 p.m.
Thank you, guys.